The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there was gold. And the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said these things also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now these 3 days and have nothing to eat." You may be seated. The collect of the day that we prayed a few minutes ago summarizes well something about God in the gospel reading today. The beginning of it, in that address of who we were addressing God as, we prayed this: "O God, whose never-failing providence orders all things both in heaven and earth." We hear that word providence, and we're not talking about a place in Rhode Island or some financial institution. We're talking about God's provision and care, because God knows what you need. But that's something the sinful flesh is tempted to take for granted. Because it sure is easy when you're suffering, when you're lacking, or even hungry, to be tempted to think that no one understands or knows what you need. And in some ways, that's right. One thing that I remember vividly was drilled into my head in my early days of seminary was when talking to someone as a pastor who's going through something, no matter how great or how small, to stop myself from just instinctively saying, "I understand." That's something you hear often, and 9 times out of 10, it's well-intentioned and it's harmless. But the point, though, and why my professors were drilling it into my head is because when talking to someone going through, especially something very terrible in life, I don't, and I can't fully understand the weight and burden of all those things the person is experiencing. Now, telling that is not a matter of splitting hairs, and it's not simply a matter of counseling practice, although pastors aren't counselors, they're pastors, but that's a whole other discussion. There's a theological reason behind it and a purpose. The only one who fully knows what you need, the only one who fully knows what you are going through, is God Himself. He's the only one who can truly look at you, know you, understand you, and know exactly what you need. And not only that, but Jesus tells you, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty words as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." So that's always a fascinating thing too, that not only does God know what you need, but what? Even before you ask Him, He knows what you need. So the scriptures also reveal, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So God knows what we need even before we ask, and God knows even what to pray for, even when we don't know what to pray for. Now, here in our gospel reading today, St. Mark, by divine inspiration, recorded this for you. "In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, 'I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat.'" So here then, this great crowd is before him, and Jesus knows something. He knows what they need. They're hungry. God knows what his people need. He is the creator of all things. He's the one who orders all things in heaven and earth. So as you then start to take this all in and consider this morning, you see something first. God first calls you to humility. You are not the creator. You're his creature. God has created you. And he calls you to humble yourself before the Lord, who knows what you need, and for you to realize this and what this all means. Don't doubt who your Lord is. Don't doubt that he knows and that he doesn't care for you. Don't let temptation, times of hardship and suffering tear you away from your Lord. Don't let the devil have the upper hand in your life to lead you down a dark path that looks inwardly towards yourself or to someone or something else for your trust, for your security. Don't let the world lure and entice you into false belief and despair. Because the temptation all around is found in love of riches, the love of things of this world and what they offer. Now, it doesn't mean that having stuff or being rich is wrong. Love of riches and coveting happen no matter how much money you have or how much debt you have incurred. The world tempts you into thinking that you need what you don't need or that you can acquire for yourself because you really are the only one who knows what you need and what is best. Both ditches are deadly, and they tempt you to do what? To find your confidence not in God who knows what you need, but instead in yourself or in someone or something else. And at the end of the day, in all of those things, there's no satisfaction. There's no fulfillment. There's the constant downward spiral of wanting one thing after another, searching for something better, trusting in the latest promise of care, and no end in sight. Only a life of no confidence, no contentment, no hope. There's no God who does know what you need and cares about you. So know who your God is. Know who you are. See your sin and repent. Turn away from doubt. Turn away from bitterness and all covetousness. Seek the Lord who alone is the Lord, and there is no other. Look outside of yourself to the one who has created you and orders all things. And so here's the thing, too, with all of this. Not only does God know what you need, but he gives it to you. And why is that? Is it because you ask him? Is it because you deserve it? Is it because you are so sincere? Why? It's because God does something. He has compassion on you. That word in the gospel reading today of compassion on the crowd is that gut-wrenching compassion that he can't help but be moved. Splagna are your guts, and splagnitzomai, he has this towards you. And how do you know this? How do you know that God actually has compassion on you? Well, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And again, it is written, God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So on this Sunday of the church year, then, we see these things in our daily life. We see, as the Lord has taught us to pray in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And taking to heart this miracle of Jesus in the gospel reading and what great compassion God has had and what he continues to have for you in Jesus, you confess, what does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. So praying the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, you know that God knows what you need. And you know that God gives it to you. And the thing in all this, too, is it flows out of that third petition of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you see your daily bread and everything that God gives you through his gracious and compassionate will. And all of this is through the compassion and mercy you have in Jesus. The God who created you and knows what you need is the same God who became flesh, who lived that perfect, obedient life for you, who has died for you, who has risen for you, who lives and reigns for you. He's the God who has redeemed you. And all of this informs to and combats temptation from the devil, the world, and your fallen flesh. So that when now you are tempted to doubt God, know what you need, and will give you what you need. Come running back to his word. Come running back to what he says today and hold those words before your own eyes. Confess them before the world. Throw them in the face of the devil. Jesus said, I have compassion on the crowd. And your Lord is the same Lord who has the same compassion on you. And even if you should be taking your last breath, your Lord is the same and has the same compassion as he takes you away to be with himself. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over in 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. So Jesus took care of the people in the gospel reading because he had compassion on them. He knew what they needed, and he gave it to them. They were hungry, and the Lord fed them. They were listening to the Lord who was teaching them, and prior to this reading was healing and working miracles. The Lord took care of this crowd out of his compassion for them. In 2 Corinthians 5, God tells you, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Even the little things of fish and bread are a result of the Lord's compassion and care for you. God knows what you need, and he gives it to you. He gives you your temporal needs, which are here today and gone tomorrow, but he knows that you need them, and he gives them to you. Just as we confess that in the 4th petition, we also see in the 1st article of the Apostles' Creed. God is not the God who creates and then just sits back on a lazy boy and watches things happen. No, he's active. He still takes care. And Jesus even said, too, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So even unbelievers have these temporal things that God gives to them, and God cares for them because God has reconciled the world to himself in Christ. And as Christians, then, you don't even just have these temporal blessings. You don't just have even the clothes that you wear, that you grow out of, or that fall apart. You have blessings that are eternal because you have eternal life. You have Christ. You have his eternal benefits given to you by grace alone through your God-given faith alone. The compassion of God is even in your faith in him, and he has worked the miracle through his word, and you know and believe in Jesus, who has redeemed you. You trust in the Lord. You trust in the one who knows what you need, and you know he gives you what you need. Ultimately and especially, you know all this in Jesus, who is your Lord, who has called you his own. And for your life now, then, you receive your daily bread with thanksgiving. You receive what the Lord gives, even if at times it's not what we think we need, but the Lord knows what you need. Always remember and look to the one who has given you all that you need and takes care of you. Give him thanks every day. Give him thanks in all circumstances, knowing all the time and in everything that you belong to the Lord and are his dear beloved child in the waters of your baptism. Your sin is forgiven, and you are at peace with God through the blood of Christ. Even your daily bread is a testament to your Lord's compassion and care for you, even when you have leftovers for dinner. That's what we're having tonight. God's caring for us. Show compassion and mercy to others as well. God uses you as instruments to take care of your children and those in need. He calls you to bear one another's burdens together as the body of Christ and serve one another loving as you have been and are loved in Jesus. And in all things, fix your eyes on Jesus, who worked this miracle in the gospel reading. It was a miracle that he did. And he still is and always remains the same Christ and has just the same heart, the same thoughts, the same words for you as he had at that time in that reading. He has not become different either yesterday or ever, and will not become a different Christ either today or tomorrow. This is a truly beautiful picture which is painted for you, the depths of his heart. Namely, that he is faithful. He is merciful. He takes your needs to heart and looks deeper into them than you dare to ask or present to him. Rejoice in your Lord, who knows what you need and gives it to you out of his compassion towards you in Christ. Eat your daily bread with thanksgiving. Feast at his supper now, where he gives you his body and blood to eat and to drink. Look to that eternal day and feast that knows no end, where you will hunger no more, neither thirst any more, as the Lord himself will be your shepherd and guide you to streams of living water. All who confess Christ's holy name, give God the praise and glory. Let all who know his power proclaim aloud the wondrous story. Cast every idol from its throne, for God is God, and he alone. To God all praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep in your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.